Good morning. Welcome to St. Stephen Lutheran Church. Today's service will be a lay service as Pastor Luke is still back in the Wisconsin area. He was at our pastoral conference, then has been visiting some friends, and then on Tuesday, July 4th, he will be performing the wedding ceremony for, I can say this, our two called teachers at St. Stephen Lutheran School, Isaac Schmidt and Michaela Hammond then. We begin our service this morning with prayer. O Lord, our Maker and Redeemer and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray you so to open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the teaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe in Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 791, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. I also wanted to note that, thank you, Barb, for our opening, our pre-service patriotic music this morning. We start our service this morning on the bottom of page 2, the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in his name, he gives power to become the sons of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. The Lord be with you. and with thy spirit. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in your deep compassion, you rescue us from whatever may hurt us. Teach us to love you above all things and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading this morning comes to us from Exodus chapter 32, verses 15 through 29. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was a writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the crowd, a cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf, which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" So Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, 'Make us gods that shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to him, "Whoever has any gold, let them break it off." So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother." Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our second reading this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. Glory be to thee, O Lord. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Here ends our second reading. Praise be to thee, O Christ. So all please rise and we'll confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed as found on page 6. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and we continue with hymn number 694, Thee Will I Love, My Strength, My Tower. It's found on page 7 of our bulletin. Please rise for the reading of the scripture text. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 34 to 42. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, whom we ever strive to keep him uppermost in our minds, hearts, and lives, dear fellow redeemed. Does the Bible contradict itself? Did Jesus, who is the incarnate Word, ever contradict himself in his teachings? Well, there are Bible critics and detractors who make the fallacious claim that there are contradictions in the Bible. We can thank God that he has given us the conviction that we know and understand that there are absolutely no contradictions in the Bible from beginning to end. Whenever questioners or naysayers make the faulty claim of there being contradictions in God's Word, it can be due for a variety of reasons. Some revelations on the surface sound like they conflict with other parts of the Bible. But upon further examination and study, it can be clearly seen that there is no conflict whatsoever. Still, other cases involve individuals who don't like certain teachings in the Bible. And so they say, well, you know, there was an error that crept into the Bible when it was written, and therefore this is something that we don't have to pay any attention to and just don't observe it, don't follow it. What Jesus tells us in the opening words of our text is one of those places upon first hearing kind of scratch our head and we wonder, this doesn't sound like Jesus and what he was like. Our text starts with Jesus saying to us, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. How could Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, tell us he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword? We know and rejoice in the wonderful fact that Jesus' primary mission was to bring peace. On the night of Jesus' birth, the angels could be heard in the heavens above, on the hillside beyond Bethlehem, glorifying and praising God by saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus came to earth as a little baby to bring to sinful mankind peace. As our Savior from sin, Jesus blesses us with spiritual peace through the knowledge and faith and his gift of forgiveness of sins that we have through him. With peace of conscience, Also, through the same priceless gift, we enjoy a peaceful coexistence with God. He's not angry with us when we are guilty of sin, nor does he intend to punish us on account of our sinfulness. And the ultimate peace that our Savior Jesus blesses us with is the everlasting, perfect peace of heaven. So yes, Jesus did come to bring peace as a Prince of Peace. And since it was his primary mission to bless us with this extraordinary gift, why does he say in our text that he didn't come to bring peace, but rather a sword? The answer lies in what happens in our relationship when we believe in the Lord and are committed to following all his words and teachings, but those we're acquainted with or related to are not willing to go along with everything that Jesus said and taught. They're not willing to stand with him in those cases. It is the disagreement over the words and teachings of the Lord can cause a breakdown in human relationships and disrupt a peaceful coexistence with them. A good example of this was found in the early church. When the New Testament church began, the vast majority of them were Jews. Jews who were converted to Christianity. Well, not all the Jews converted to Christianity. There were those who rejected Christ and his teachings. But the problem was, the unbelieving Jews didn't like it when their family confessed Christ. They got angry with them. They turned against them. They ostracized them from their family. And not only that, they instigated the rounding up of Jewish Christians who even were their family members and carted them off to prison and even caused them to be put to death. When we hear of these cases in church history, it makes complete sense when we hear Jesus say, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." We can also see how there can be situations where close relatives set themselves up against one another concerning the teachings of the Bible. While the teachings of God's Word can unite people in their minds and in their hearts and in their lives, nevertheless, when individuals reject his teachings, their sinful hearts can cause them to be set up against a confessor of the truths of God. Yes, even family members. Sadly, opposition from relatives over religious teachings is one of those crosses that we're called upon to bear as Christians for Jesus' sake. The loss of peace between family members, even to the point of violence over differences of beliefs, continue to this day. Extreme cases of this nowadays are not found among the Jews, but rather among Muslims. You probably are well aware of the fact that some of those Muslim countries have laws that make it illegal to be converted to Christianity. And if someone does convert to Christianity, family members who are Muslims, they turn against their family. They have them arrested and even have them put to death. Of those cases reported in the news of Muslims converted to Christianity, I haven't heard of one case that they were unwilling to continue to confess Christ, even in the face of opposition, persecution, and even death. Why is that? They didn't want to give up what they received through Jesus, the gift of forgiveness, peace with God, the gift of eternal life. That was too precious to them for them to renounce their Christian faith, even if they were put to death for it. This is where Jesus' paradoxical saying in verse 39 comes into play, where he declares, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." The finder of life is one who is frightened to lose his life as a Christian, and therefore he denies Christ to save his skin. And then he loses, in so doing, he loses his life with God as one of his children. The one who loses his life for Jesus' sake ends up finding it, because he enters into the realm of eternal life in heaven. So this is one of those statements by Jesus, boy, this sounds contradictory. But when you study it further, you can understand he's not contradicting himself. Well, we're not faced with such extreme cases in our country of losing our life for Jesus' sake. Still, we can encounter loss of peace in the family when a relative does not faithfully hold to the teachings of God's word or has chosen a lifestyle that conflicts with the teachings of God. When and where this happens, how do we respond to it? The temptation is to keep peace in the family by compromising our beliefs found in the Word of God, by overlooking differences or embracing faulty teachings. In situations where loved ones have decided to live a sinful manner, the temptation is to remain silent about it and not rebuke or reprove, or to accept what they're doing and try to justify it by saying, "This is okay with God. He has no problem with the way you're living." If we're tempted to compromise our beliefs by going along with error or sinful behavior and then try to justify it, remember the saying of Jesus in our text where he said in verse 40, "He receives you, receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Speaking to his disciples, he said, "Now you are going out as my spokesman. And as you are proclaiming the truths of God, and people receive it, they accept it, they're not just receiving and accepting you, they're accepting Jesus and the Heavenly Father who sent Jesus to reveal truths." Now, if you encounter people who are not willing to receive those teachings, they're not just rejecting you, they're rejecting the Lord. So what does Jesus say to us if we were to give way to some temptations for the sake of peace in the family? In verses 37 and 38, he says to us, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." By compromising the Word of God in order to keep peace in the family, we are in effect showing a greater attachment to family than to God. We make them more important to us than our Lord. This would be a violation of God's foremost command of loving Him above all others. If ever we place family above God, may God have mercy upon us and lead us to repentance so that we can find forgiveness in Jesus. Whenever a family member were to fall prey to false beliefs or sinful lifestyle, rather than trying to keep peace by going along with this, wouldn't it be showing love to God and to our family to try to help them see the error of their ways? In so doing, we would be helping them in establishing and building a lasting relationship with God, wherein is found spiritual and eternal peace. This is the kind of peace that we want for ourselves and we want for our family, all of our family. In those situations where we have to choose sides, either to be with God or our relatives, we need to answer, why would I stand with God rather than my family? To begin with, as children of God, He's our Lord and our Master, our Maker. And yet greater still is our motivation to side with God because of His tremendous, unconditional love that He showed us in Christ. God the Father sent His only begotten Son into this world to be the sin bearer of all sinful mankind and to suffer our punishment on the cross. This was a great sacrifice that God made for us miserable sinners. God did this so that each day, without fail, when we don't show greater love for God than anyone else, we can find forgiveness through Jesus. Yes, Jesus came to this world to bless us with spiritual and eternal peace as our Savior. But when we become His followers by believing in Him, we can anticipate times when our peaceful relationship with others, even with family, will break down and will be opposed by them. This is bound to happen when we're willing to accept all the words and teachings of Christ and not another. The loss of peace over God's word is one of those crosses that we're called upon to bear as Christians. Jesus was willing to bear our sins and suffer our punishment on the cross. And so because of that, we're willing to bear any Christian cross that is laid to bear upon us. Thanks be to God who blesses us with spiritual and eternal peace through our Savior Jesus Christ. May we never lose that peace, but ever hold on to it by confessing Jesus by faith and faithfully following after His words and His teachings. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Anyone who has an offering that they would like to contribute to St. Stephen today can put an offering plate that's out on the table in the entryway. We give Thee but Thine own, whate'er that gift may be. All that we have is Thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from Thee. We continue our service this morning. Hymn number 793, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. We continue with our prayers for the church this morning. Almighty God, you have given us this good land as our heritage, and as we approach our nation's birthday, grant that we remember your generosity and constantly do your will. Bless our land with honest industry, truthful education, and honorable way of life. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil course of action. Make us who came from many nations with many different languages a united people. Defend our liberties and give those whom we have entrusted with the authority of government the spirit of wisdom that there may be justice and peace in our land. When times are prosperous, let our hearts be thankful, and in troubled times do not let our trust in you fail. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. And we also pray. We thank you for all the spiritual and temporal blessings enjoyed in our land. In your mercy, you have sustained this nation in times of trouble and preserved its liberties. Teach us anew to treasure especially that dearly won freedom of conscience and worship that is the cornerstone of this country's principles. Let us not misuse this liberty nor forget the true freedom is freedom to serve. Give us willingness to share in the process of democratic rule, to respect our country's laws that don't conflict with your word, and to work for the preservation of its institutions. Grant freedom to our leaders, grant wisdom to our leaders. Strengthen all those who strive to do your will. Increase loyalty to you and to our beloved country. Protect us and our fellow citizens from all subversive and terrorist acts. Above all, dear God, speed the course of your gospel among us, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, hearts are turned to that freedom from sin and death that you alone graciously give through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we continue with the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise for the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Amen. And then be seated. We close our service this morning with hymn number 692, Praise to You and Adoration. Pastor Luke says every Sunday morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Barb, for the music today. And like I said, the pre-service patriotic music you played, very nice. Thank you, Pastor Gullerud. Thank you for bringing our sermon, our word to us this morning. Service today, 10 o'clock, okay. Next week, on Tuesday, as I mentioned, Michaela and Isaac Schmidt will be married by a pastor who is leading that, that Tuesday on July 4th. And then pastor should be home, as you say, on Thursday. So next Sunday, normal service, Bible study, 9 a.m., worship at 10 a.m. And then the baptism of Aiden Weinberger is coming up on July 16th, 2 weeks from today. VBS, last I heard, we have 18 or 19 students. Does anybody know for sure? I think that was the last number I heard. It's a very big amount for our students here. It's coming on July 24th through the 28th, the last week. And what Pastor doesn't have in here, I believe we've got the picnic lined up for that Sunday after, which would be the 30th? Yeah, 30th. And we'll have it over at that park there in
De Anza Park
in Sunday, where we've had for many, many years. So, any other announcements?
I would assume we'd have Lord's Supper next Sunday.
Yes, thank you. No Lord's Supper here today, of course, but I'm sure Pastor will have it next Sunday. What else do I want to do? Have a safe week. 4th of July on Tuesday. Everyone be safe where you're in your travels and on that day. So, thank you.